name's Mike. I'm an alcoholic. Can everybody hear me? Okay, good. I wrote down a few notes so I don't lose track of where I'm at. I start mumbling up here and going into a big drunkalogue. I know everybody here probably knows how to get drunk, so I don't want to belabor you with that. I know most of you are here, so I've heard a lot of you share at meetings, so I know your qualifications, but I want to tell you my qualifications as far as being an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic because I drink too much. I'm not an alcoholic because someone says I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic because I'm dysfunctional. Here, let me get comfortable with this thing right here. When I drink, I can't stop. And I had my first drink when I was 10. My grandfather made it for me. And I know why he did it, because I was a little ornery, into everything, couldn't sit still, so he drugged me. We were, I remember we were on vacation up in a little town called Hoboken, Georgia, and we would go visit there 2-3 times a year. That was my father's home, father's and mother's home. And I think it was Jack Daniels, and I passed out. And so he got what he wanted, and I got my first taste of alcohol. And I do maybe remember about maybe 2 or 3 minutes that I felt really good. I felt really good. And I passed out and woke up the next day, and my mom was really upset about what happened. And anyway, so, but I had a real problem coming to terms with saying I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. And so, anyways, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was born, raised in Tampa, Florida. 2 brothers, 2 sisters. My parents still live in Tampa here, and outside of my immediate family, everybody on my mother's side, father's side, they're all alcoholics. And it's a topic that's talked about sometimes, whether we were born this way, whether we have a predisposition to it. I don't know. I know that I did like drinking for a long time, because it made me someone else. Maybe someone that I could be comfortable with. So I was born in Tampa. I kind of like my first memory of like school. I remember kindergarten. I went to a Baptist church, and the same day my mom dropped me off. I don't know what happened, what I did, I don't really remember, but they took some diapers. Back in those days, they used the cloth diapers. They took some diapers and tied me down to a chair and called my mother and said, come get your son. So, anyways, so that was kind of like my start with school. All through school was like that. There wasn't a principal that didn't get to paddle me all the way through high school. And that was back, I don't know if they still paddle in high school or not. I'm not sure what they do there. I don't know if they give them a timeout or, you know, let them sit in the office for a while, play with their phones. I don't know, but I know when I was in school, they paddled you. And what was worse was when I got home, because I'd get a paddling again. So I got it twice. But I'd continue along with the same behavior all throughout my teenage years. You know, I've been to a lot of speaker meetings lately, and I think it's necessary to share a little bit about, like, dysfunction. You know, I thought that was a really good title when I first came into AA, was to say, I'm dysfunctional. You know, and everybody just kind of looked, gave me a deer in a headlight look, like, okay, whatever, you know. I had some things, you know, there's some stuff about sex and abuse, and I don't want to go really in-depth with it, but a lot of the speaker meetings I've been to, you know, I'm able to identify with other people. I'm not alone in what happened to me when I was a kid. That's not why I'm an alcoholic. Later on in life, it sure covered a lot of that up. But it was there, and that was a lot of that was on my fifth step. So I don't really talk about it. I'm not going to go into any kind of detail about it. But so school sucked, but I did graduate. I was a senior at Lakeville High School 2 years. They liked me so much that they had me a second year. And I did graduate. After graduation, I kind of worked some odd jobs. I worked at a McDonald's, a Scotty's, a Burger King, a Arby's, a Publix, and I just couldn't be happy anywhere I went. So I did that for a while, and I decided I was going to join the Army. And so I did. I went down, I enlisted, signed up. The office used to be over off of McDill and Columbus. So I signed up, and January 12th, 1984, I went into the military. And at that point, I had a license. I had a license to drink. I was barely 19, but I had a license to drink. I did very well in the military. I went to a lot of different countries. Never got in any kind of trouble. I was what they call a, you know, parachutist kind of guy, sniper. And I didn't see any war. Didn't see any. There was no wartime during '84 and '87. It was pretty much peacetime. And so it was just really easy duty. But after 3 years, I was kind of unsettled. I wanted to move on and do something else. And I think I could have made a career out of it. But anyways, I moved on, came back to Tampa, and I started drinking. You know, my drinking accelerated while I was in the military. And then when I came back home, I kind of toned it down a little bit because I didn't really have a place to stay, so I went back home to live with my mom and dad. So I kind of toned it down. Because I could remember going home after drinking with a bunch of friends, and they dropped me off, and I crawled to the front door. This was during high school, and I crawled to the front door and knocked on the door. My mom opens the door, and it wasn't real good. And that was actually, I was 16, maybe 17. It was the last time my father ever with me, because I cussed my mother out. She hit me with a big, really big, you see those big Bibles? The Red Door has one of them down there on the Interbay. She hit me with this big Bible and then poured some cold water on me. And then the next day my dad beat the crap out of me. And that's the last time I talked to my mom that way. And but anyway, so I think, you know, the growing up, brothers, sisters, I had two of each, and my sister died from this disease. She hit a truck head on, and she was pretty much DOA, whatever they call it. So, and then I'm kind of scattered around a little bit here with this, but just bear with me. On both sides of my family, I talked about that a little bit. Everyone in my family, so far that I've counted, kind of like been to their funerals, they've all died because of alcoholism. But that never stopped me from drinking, because once I was in kind of the throes of my alcoholism, mine was just a little bit different. I was not going to be like my aunt, or five of my aunts, six of my aunts actually. They're all dead. My mother is one of seven, and she's the only one alive. She's never drank. She never touched a drop. So all that kind of just meshes together growing up. I was always around it, exposed to it. So I guess it was just in the cards for me to, you know, be what I am today. So I got out of the military, and I ended up going to Irwin Vocational Tech for about 6 months, and I was going to be an air conditioning technician. And I also had a job opportunity at the time, which was with GE of Florida, which is now Verizon. And I was wondering where all these guys were, you know how you see in the commercial, the network, but they didn't show up. I didn't know I was speaking tonight, so had to work on that one. But so I got a job with the phone company in 1988, and I've been with the phone company since then. Currently work in the Tampa, South Tampa area, and so 1990 I got married to my first wife. And then 7 months later, I got divorced. She wanted to date other men, and I had a little bit of a problem with it. So we went our separate ways. That same year, I got married again. Talk about insane. I had no idea what I was doing, what was going on, but I got married again. And that marriage is almost over. And that happened in sobriety after I got sober. And we're kind of discussing the final details, visitation, that kind of stuff. So, you know, life goes on in sobriety regardless of what happens. That's the only reason I bring that up, is it doesn't matter what happens to us, whether it's job related, family related, relationship related. Life goes on, and we do stay sober a day at a time using the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So if that would have been 18 years this November. I have two beautiful children. One that's 13. She's my daughter. Name's Kaylee, and she's going on 21. She loves her cell phone and texting. She's a straight-A student. And then my son, he's 11. He loves being outside, loves playing outside, outdoors. And so I have two beautiful children. And so I'm going to skip ahead about 9 years, because from 1990 to 1999, it was a complete blur. My alcoholism kicked in full gear. And there wasn't a day where I didn't have a drink. There wasn't probably an hour hardly where I didn't have alcohol in my system. And so New Year's Eve, out of all days to decide to start a new habit, a good habit, or quit something, well, that's what I did. New Year's Eve of 1999, I quit. I went to St. Joe's Hospital. And I felt real sick, but I do remember... I called my mom. Wife at the time was off with the kids at a movie, and so I called my mom. She took me to the hospital, and we sat there forever. And I told her, when I finally got back, I told the doctor, I said, I think I'm having a heart attack, my chest hurts. And so they looked me over, did EKG, and I said, you're okay, but based on the information, we suggested you quit drinking and quit smoking. You're killing yourself. So I felt so bad that morning. I remember getting on the floor and doing like a foxhole prayer. Please God help me feel better, because I don't feel good. And I tried a couple drinks and that didn't work. And so So I did. I took the doctor's advice. I was so scared just from the physical strain that it put on my body that two times in a row I broke out in hives real bad. And I'm not allergic to anything except for alcohol. I know that because that's what the big book says. But I broke out in hives twice, but in the 3 months I stayed from New Year's Eve, January, February, and March, I didn't have a drink. And it was pretty much dry con. So a two week went by, 3 weeks went by, a month went by, and I was like, I got this, this is good. I'm good to go. So I heard a little bit about AA. My father-in-law is 28 years sober, and he told me a little bit about AA, and I went to a couple of meetings, and that was a blur, and I just remember one guy saying, "Hey, take it easy." I'm like, okay, all right. So I didn't know what that meant either. So at the end of three months, I was up in Tallahassee at my mother-in-law's house. She was having a big shindig because it was her 60th birthday. And my wife says, "Hey, why don't you get a life? Why don't you just have a drink?" Now, at that point, I hadn't been to any kind of detox or any of that. And I don't think she realized how bad of a problem it was. Maybe she did, I don't know. So I did. But like any good alcoholic, I didn't want anybody else's alcohol. I drove 20 miles into town and got 3 cases of beer and a carton of cigarettes. And it wasn't a planned relapse, it just happened. I didn't even know what a relapse was. So I got drunk, passed out, woke up the next morning, and the only thing I wanted was another drink. I wanted another drink. And it was about a 5.5 hour ride home from Tallahassee. It seemed like 5 years. And the first thing I got when I got back to Tampa was I got more alcohol. And so from March till October 28th of 2000, which is, that is my sobriety date, October 28th of 2000, I didn't stop at all. And it was like a thousand times worse than it was the feeling that I had on New Year's Eve of 1999. And man, I never want to do that to myself again. Ever. So I went to detox. I stayed in the hospital 17 days. And then I did the IOP thing. And then I just started making meetings. Didn't get a sponsor right away. When I say right away, that was like 4.5 years. I kind of just floundered around AA, went to church to kind of like, this is my spiritual part of my program, and went to AA for the alcohol part of my life. And but mentally, emotionally, I wasn't getting any better. I was getting really bad. And so then the first part of some of the marital issues started coming up. And I had a thought that I'm either going to drink or I'm going to change my life. I got to change my life. I'm going to drink again. And I didn't want to drink again. So I got a sponsor at Yana at a noon meeting. And but, you know, I guess I can remember, like, the third day after having a sponsor, I didn't call them. And then I saw him at the meeting that day or the next day, and he said, "Did your phone break? What's wrong with you? You know, what happened? You're supposed to call every day." And so I was just very, very, very hard-headed, just very, very obstinate about listening to someone else, and this is how you're going to do it. And so that kind of gave me a wake-up call. I don't know how I'm doing on time. I'm good on time? An hour? About 20 minutes, okay. Okay. Yeah, so So I got a sponsor, and I started working the steps. And it was just kind of odd because I had as much time almost as he did as far as being sober. But mine was dry time. And, you know, I don't always like saying that in my story because I don't want to encourage someone to say, look, oh, I can go 2, 3, 4 years. I can tell you I don't know except for God has done for me what I could not do for myself as far as not picking up another drink. I don't know why I didn't. I really don't. I know why I don't today. So I got a sponsor, and I completed all the steps, went through all the steps, started sponsoring, and I currently have enough sponsees to what they call like a sponsee family group meeting or a tree meeting or whatever they call it. You know, and it's just like I would hear people saying, oh, my grand sponsor and my great 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 grand sponsor. I don't like that to sound so corny. But today I love it. Today I love it. Because I got a great 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 grand sponsor, Bill W. And it goes that far back. Two people working with each other. And so I'm getting ready to kick that off here pretty soon with the 9 or 10 guys that I sponsor. Some of them sponsor other guys. And I don't know, it seems like I have a lot of time. I probably rushed through some stuff. Well, I guess I'll close here in just a minute. I'm kind of out of stuff to talk about, really. I should have a lot more to talk about, but honestly, I do this by notes, and I should know it by heart, but I don't. A lot of my memory is not there because of alcohol. True story. But I've learned through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous that it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how rich, poor you are, that God will do for you what you cannot, and a lot of times will not do for yourself. And I don't always see it in my day-to-day life, and that's my hindsight that I'm developing a day at a time, a day at a time. And only now I can look back at the last almost 9 years of sobriety, and I could see all the close calls, I could see all the places in my life where I've messed up, I've goofed up. I actually became a AA addict. And that's not a good thing either. And it may have something to do with my kind of current situation. Maybe not. I won't know that for probably another 10 years. You know, I'm able to look back on it. But I try to stay in the middle of the boat. I still make a ton of meetings every week. And I try to do the 5 things every day. And they might be different things. Like, I know there's a list of 5 things you do every day. You're supposed to pray in the morning, pray at night. And sometimes that's please and thank you for me, because that's all I can get out. Read some literature, and it may be AA, it may be spiritual, talk to another alcoholic. But sometimes it might be those 5 things in one day, might be praying 5 times in a day, because that's all I'm able to do. Some days are really, really, really super good in sobriety, and some days are just another day. But every day that I'm sober, it is a great day. It is a great day. I can't remember the actual physical feeling that I had October 28th of 2000. I can't kind of muster that up. But what I can muster up is that got on my knees with the instructions from a nurse at the hospital, and I asked God to help me. And He did. And He did. That's why I'm standing in here today, tonight, in front of you, telling you that God will do what you can't do for yourself. And it may not be in your time, my time, but it's going to happen. I promise you it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what the problem is. So, thank you very much for having me up here. Let me ramble a little bit about myself and my sobriety, and I hope I didn't have too much of a drunk log. And good luck to you wherever you are in your sobriety. Thank you.
I've asked Damien to read Dr. Bob's last message.
My name is Damien. I'm an alcoholic. This is Dr. Bob's last message delivered at the First International Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous in Cleveland, Ohio, 1950. I get a big thrill out of looking over a vast sea of faces with the feeling that possibly some small thing I did a number of years ago played an infinitely small part in making this meeting possible. I also get quite a thrill when I think that we all have the same problem. We all do the same things. We all get the same results in proportion to our zeal and enthusiasm and stick-to-itiveness. If you will pardon the injection of a personal note at this time, let me say that I have been in bed 5 of the last 7 months. My strength has not returned as I would like. So my remarks of necessity will be very brief. There are 2 or 3 things which flash into my mind which it would be fitting to lay little emphasis. One is the simplicity of our program. Let's not louse it up with Freudian complexes and things that are interesting to the scientific mind, but have very little to do with our actual AA work. Our 12 steps, when simmered down to last, resolve themselves into the words love and service. We understand what love is, and we understand what service is, so let's bear those 2 things in mind. Let us also remember to guard the erring member of the tongue. We must use it with kindness and consideration and tolerance. And one more thing, none of us would be here today if somebody hadn't taken time to explain things to us, to have given us a little pat on the back, to have taken us to a meeting or two, to have done numerous kind and thoughtful acts on our behalf. So let us never get the degree of smug complacency so that we are not willing to extend to or attempt that help which has been so beneficial to us. To our less fortunate brothers, thank you very much.
This home group strongly believes in sponsorship. Will anyone that is willing to be a sponsor please raise your hand? Will home group members please raise your hand? If you would like to join this home group, please see Katie after the meeting. Anyone that would like to join us, we have a nice way of closing with the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.